What's good, y'all? Welcome back to the Very Dependent podcast, where we depend on the Verde and Black for our everyday vibes. This week, we discuss the sweet, sweet first win of the season at home against FC Dallas. We react to fan takeaways from that match. A few fans sent in some audio recordings we will react to. And we previewed this weekend's San Jose match before closing out the episode with the stoppage time rundown of the hottest Austin FC, MLS, and World Footy storylines of the past week. I'm Logan Bartlett, a.k.a. Lobar.
Hey, everyone. It's Lojo.
What's going on, everyone? This is Paul, a.k.a. Lopal.
All right, let's get it. Boys, let's recap the FC Dallas match.
Lucy, centro con ventaja, golazo!
You love to hear it, boys. Austin FC, first one of the year. 2-1, Copa Tejas match, going for the three-peat. I mean, what are the vibes this week? Multiple vibes. Paul?
The vibes are 3 points, G. The vibes are fuck Dallas, fuck Frisco. The vibes are, that's my Copa. I don't know you.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about the TIFO, huh?
That TIFO was live, bro. People were saying it's mid, but I like a good deep cut.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. It didn't have to be as large as some of the ones in the past. The message was clear, concise, and I think the size was perfect. Everything was great.
That's my purse. I don't know you. It's a fun subtle jab too, because Mike Judge, is he from Austin? Is that right? The creator of King of the Hill? He's a part of the Austin crew.
Questions I don't know.
I know. Yeah, right. I know he's friends with Robert Rodriguez, the director who's from Austin. And he was in Spy Kids, Mike Judge was. So it's a subtle jab, I would imagine, at the Dallas folk he's making fun of in King.
Right.
You know? Anyway, fuck Dallas. It's more Frisco anyway. True. But yeah, I mean, 3 points, y'all. We finally got it. We're ahead of Frisco in the standings. Wolf End?
Oh my gosh.
Are we all the way back?
Lord.
Did you see the clip of Wolf trying to get into it with the line ref there? And then
Davey
Arnaud was like, hey,
yeah, Josh, do we know what that's all about?
Chill. It was the yellow that should have been given to, I think it was Paul Arriola, after fouling, I can't remember who it was. But, Josh got that dog on the sideline,
I know Diego came out when had some words as well, so I didn't know if those were kind of something.
Oh, he's just getting under that AR skin, right. Bro.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I remember Lojo screaming Diego's yapping as he's walking off, being sucked out. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. It looked like he was mad at the technical staff for a second, but
right.
No, it was the rest. Directly the fourth.
What all have we said about Diego that isn't good? I don't think there's anything bad we found about Diego Rubio. Specifically, he's really shown out bringing that Felipe that we miss. That dog on the field talking mad shit.
X-Dog for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing that he really brought to this game that I don't think is really talked about a lot is that yellow for Pice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which sets them up in a situation where if they do go one up late, or if we're really knocking on the door late, they can't time waste. Usually a goalie will go and accentuate dives and lay on the ground a little bit longer and takes a yellow at some point. It's just like, all right, it's fine. We've wasted enough time at this point, but they've really set it up where they have to kind of continue with a normal game of flow, which really, I think, would have played important if we didn't get that goal that Cascante got right after, probably 4 or 5 minutes right after the Dallas goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, that's something that I haven't heard brought up, and I want to definitely give him his props for that.
Dark magic indeed.
He was looking at Pice too with his head on the forehead, I'm in your head, bro. I'm in your head. Mm-hmm. He just kept doing that. He told the ref that. It was awesome. He looks at the refs. He points at Pius. He's like, I'm in his head. It was awesome, man.
Yeah. Let's talk about my biggest thing for him is just staying healthy. My bad. But yeah, it's just, you know, keeping his health up, because that's always been the kind of deciding factor, right, for him. I think this is his 9th year in the league. So it's just, you know, keeping him healthy. But we got to remember, I think we got this dude for under 300K.
That's the rumor. Yeah, that's the rumor.
Something like that.
For a minute officially. But.
Yeah.
It's good value.
We're back,
for sure.
Baby. We're so fucking back.
All the way back. Always have been. Best team in the world. Right. Let's talk about those goals. So, you know, the first goal Dallas scores. What do we see from that? I mean, Lojo, I saw you said something that it was Julio's fault.
I mean, a little bit of everybody, but what it looks like is they have for a while, a few plays. Dallas is really just their method and strategy of attacking was send a long ball up to Musa, have him, you know, as a big flick body that he is, flick it on and just see if we can get a goal that way, which they were. They did. I think Heinz Eich had Musa at that point.
He did.
And then Cascante had Ansa. Cascante left him to help with the header, which they both missed. And Galli was left to come from bumfuck nowhere. He was over at the Pluckers on the west side of west side of the stadium to come defend, and just was a little too late, and Ansa got the goal. And
and like Stuver could have done a little bit better. I think
Stuver definitely could have done a little bit better, but I mean
unlucky.
There was a lot that there was a kind of a domino effect that led to that, and I was a little worried because up until that point I feel like we were knocking on the door. We were so close to several goals, and it could have easily turned into a game where, you know, we're knocking, we're so close. They get the first goal and it just deflates us, and we aren't able to come back from that. We have our heads hanging too low. But thankfully we didn't. We really, you know, we saw some of that 2022 grit where being down didn't matter. Whereas last season being down was usually a death sentence.
Yeah. The team showed good resolve in that moment. And actually, it was, you know, Julio taketh, Julio giveth right back.
And which Logan was right. We were talking about it after the game, and I couldn't remember. He asked if it was a corner or a throw-in. It was throw-in.
It was
to a cross, and I don't know why. I thought it was a cross or a corner kick at that point. Just I think the cross kind of threw me off. But yes,
yeah, second ball that gets recycled by Galli, right?
Yeah, it was great. And you know, as Logan said, Julio giveth, Julio taketh away.
Yeah, Paul, what happened in the second goal?
Oh, yeah, baby. So I think this is kind of now talking about Drewsi's magic. And, you know, when we see him on his level, you know, that's when you know that a goal's coming for Austin, because he does a really good job of connecting with Hector Jimenez, OMH, baby. Keep going, G, you know.
Yes, sir.
Up on that left wing, he is kind of cycling into that left kind of central area with Diego Rubio. And so Diego is actually splitting the center backs there, Ibiaga, and I can't remember who else for Dallas. But I mean, the vision on Drewsi to just look up and put a perfect ball on Diego's head for him to just slot it past Martin Pais. I mean, it was perfect. It was so good.
And the faint run from Rubio as well to kind of set that up too. He like dips behind the center back looks, sees him off, and then by the time he's turned back, Rubio's back on and running past him again over that shoulder. Just a beautiful goal all around.
I would like to say something about this goal too. And I think, I don't know if Paul was in on this conversation as well, but in the first half, I was really not pleased with how wide Drewsi was playing. And we saw a lot of that in the Orlando match. And I feel really were, you know, making our best player ineffective and put him in this weird position where I understand the philosophy of that's where majority of our play is on that left side, getting him involved, but we're also just taking him out of position where it's just not natural for him. And he's not looking for shooting and crossing from that position. And then you have him switch with Hector and Hader, who were kind of playing inverted from him in that first half, put Drewsi back in, you know, more central. I wouldn't say it was incredibly central, but it was definitely within those barriers of the 18.
He had freedom to roam, right?
Yeah. And he gets a bouncing cross over the defense into a great header. And, you know, that's just some of the things where I'm just like, why can't we just stick to that? You know, why do we have to have this guy in the first half playing all the way out here. And I'm not a coach or anything, but you know, it just didn't make sense because for a game and a half, we see Drewsy being, you know, essentially ineffective.
Right. Right.
Playing over in the corner of the field for what reason? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
and it's, you know, so often in those scenarios too, it's like we're in our defensive half of the field where he's that wide. Like he's in line with Alex Ring or Danny P just on the sideline. And the second half, we saw that flip the script to your point, Lojo, where the outside back was riding that line and making overlapping runs for Drewsy to pass off to, and then, you know, can take that space at the top corner of the box.
I feel like, man, it's just, it's so unfortunate because sometimes I feel like a consequence to Wolfball is we're not looking for those overlapping or cutting, you know, those 1-2 passes enough. I feel like there was a lot in that first half over it on the right side of the field where Owen and Alex were connecting, and Owen or Alex had the opportunity.
This was in the second half, right, that you're talking about?
No, I think this was in the first half. This when they were coming towards us.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, they had some opportunities. Yeah, you're fine. We had some opportunities to make some of those 1-2 passes, get a better cross in. But as I've mentioned before, a side effect of Wolfball is we just get real stagnant and we're just looking for a back pass or a side pass, but instead of something real progressive. And, you know, I think we had a lot of opportunities, but I still feel like we could have had more. And I think that's to the point where Wolfball can be very effective, but it can also just be so detrimental. If you don't have players, you know, fluidly moving, it's going to be the horseshoe of sadness and just very disappointing, ineffective offense.
Yeah, it's true. And Paul, what I was happy to see after we got that second goal is, I mean, we did put in a third center back. So some people were fearful we were going to full on park the bus, but no, we still had opportunities all the way to the end of the game where, you know,
Drewsy has a really good opportunity to just one time on that one late run.
Exactly. And we were still staying pretty active in their defense and in the attacking third. So it was good to see that we kept going.
And sorry to continue, but you know, we have the mental gymnastics of, you know, those are the same type of substitutions that Wolf makes. We lose a game and we criticize.
Right. And he called that out too in the press conference. He said it was the right move tonight. It was the right move in the past. It just didn't work out.
It's always the right move, but it's just our players.
It's the execution,
right? Struggle. Yes. It's the execution.
It's just the execution, right?
And it's crazy because, you know, we're touting this guy, man, great substitutions, great management. But, you know, one extra, you know, Dallas scores a goal late, completely different.
Thought process
and outlook on how we view those substitutions.
Yeah.
So, you know, just the mere matter of just inches in this game and
goals change games,
decision,
baby.
A decision can be good, but it also couldn't be. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. So he made the right substitutions this time because we won, you know.
But shout out to Heinz-Eich. Heinz-Eich had a great game.
He did. Yeah, and those three played pretty well.
Another
together.
One, man. Another
and
one.
If you watch the video that came out today, he got the game ball in the locker room.
Yeah.
They handed him the game ball. So that was good. I'm glad he got some recognition for his
CBs.
Play.
Are we worried about him, boys?
Are we finally in the clear at this point?
I mean,
I'm a little worried just because Leo's so injury prone. So we really only have three options that we know we can count on. So if we get one more injury, yes, I'm worried. But if health is no longer a problem and Leo comes back healthy and remains that way, I feel really good about this group.
Yeah.
One more for insurance maybe, but.
For sure.
I feel good about it.
And
to that point, a lot of the fans felt good about it too, about this win. We asked in multiple channels on Twitter and whatnot for some reactions from fans of the team, listeners of the podcast. And we have a few audio clips of, you know, takeaways and just thoughts from this win that we want to share here. So we're going to start first with our boy E from the North End podcast. He sent us a lazy morning on the patio audio clip here that we're going to play now for y'all, and we're going to react to it.
E from the North End pod checking in. Just wanted to say the game versus Dallas was such a refreshing sight to see. Looking at this club with a healthy number 10 looks completely different from what we've seen to start the beginning of this season, which has been objectively bad. But It's a long season. We got a ways to go. And we just want to be in this race come transfer window time, baby. So it was a great win. I was super happy to flip off these people up there in the northwest corner, wherever it was. But what a game, man. So fun to see Seba get one on to Diego. And we just got a great performance out of, like, literally the whole club. And I know that one felt really good for everyone involved. So let's keep this thing rolling. Get this first L versus the Quakes coming up. Get a little win streak going, huh? We're going streaking.
Let's hope we're going streaking, E.
Streaking, baby.
Let's hope.
Shout out E, man.
Yeah, shout out E. I mean, he kind of summed it up all in all. Giriusi showed out. We need Giriusi to show out if this team's going to do anything. And it was just truly was refreshing to see. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree. Were y'all, Paul, I know you walked around to start the game. You're walking around the stadium a little bit. Did you interact mm-hmm. with any Dallas fans and flip them off and ease on her?
No, I didn't. I did it mostly just kind of as a observation of, like, you know, whenever we do have these derby matches and we invite Houston and Dallas to bring a limited amount of instruments, how much noise does that make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know that was actually an interesting side topic of conversation for a lot of fans after that match. But yeah, we're still working on it and just encouraging fans from all over, you know, not just the South End, but all over the stadium to, you know, really make this a home advantage, you know, for Austin. But
yeah,
I was definitely flipping hella birds, you know, back in the Murga section.
Yes, sir. You're right there.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. So.
Lojo, to his point, it was refreshing to see that Seba Diego connection, right?
Yeah.
The first time we're really seeing them flourish in the run of play. And team-wide, strong performance. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's good. I think we're going to just continue to see more and more efficient, good play from these two, the more they're able to play, you know, not starting together, you know, not having a lot of time together at the beginning of the season. You know, you need time to grow that continuity between two players.
Right.
Ball knows ball, though.
Of course,
knows ball.
Yeah, and that South American connection, you know, they got a little extra, mm-hmm. you know, chemistry there for sure.
Right. So right. All right, let's go to the next one. We have our good friend Jesse Sosa. He'll give his introduction to start, so I'll let him say what it is.
Hey y'all, it's Jesse, starting 11 member for Los Verdes Bombista in La Murga de Austin, casual hey. Member of Austin Anthem, and not so secret admirer of the boys of the Verdependent podcast.
Aww.
Let me start off by saying I am not a huge soccer person. Like, I don't play soccer. I don't play video games of soccer. I don't follow certain soccer teams internationally. I am purely an Austin FC fan, a very dedicated Austin FC fan. So I'm more of a hearts guy, not more of a brains guy when it comes to soccer. So I could just say that this recent win against FC Dallas was something my heart definitely needed. Now, I'm not completely oblivious. Like, I think there were attributing factors to why we won, especially from FC Dallas' side. But we just had so much riding on this game, and our fan base needed this win so bad, with it being our first Copa game of the season, with us raising a TIFO for this game. And I'm sure that our players kind of needed this win as well. Hopefully, it's a reminder to them of what winning feels like. So hopefully Ooh. They're leaving it all on yep. the field, just like we're leaving it all in the stands. And this is the first of many wins to come.
Let's hope that's true. The first of many wins to come. Boys, what are your thoughts?
I definitely, I like what Jesse said, was there are some variables. But, you know, it was very obvious. They're missing some very key players. Velasco out for the season. Mm-hmm. Pomacall had an injury during the week. Yeah. And Jesus Ferreira mm-hmm. was out. He wasn't back till Sunday, yeah,
among others.
So, right. So, but you know what? This goes in the win column without an asterisk. There's nothing saying, oh, they beat them without X, Y, and Z. That's 3 points is 3 points. You can yes, only sir. Play what's, you know, the team that's given, you know,
right
on any.
They still
given
had
Saturday.
Two DPs out there, right? So,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they got Musa, who was mm-hmm. is two people. He's
yeah, he's
about
giant.
8 feet. He was a problem. 8 feet tall.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, so.
Yeah. I really appreciate Jesse's perspective from a, like, you know, maybe not knowing the ins and outs of, you know, the technical side of soccer. And just, mm-hmm. it's really cool to be reminded that, you know, like some folks just enjoy what Austin FC has brought to our city, you know, yeah. and the community that that's built around this team. And so shout out Jesse. Thank you so much, man. That was a really good note.
Yeah. Especially, and thanks for, you know, mentioning the player psyche. I mean, getting a win in a season where we haven't won yet, beating a team that we've had a hard time beating, haven't beat them in the regular season at all. And of course a Texas Derby opponent rivalry. Yeah. That's huge. And hopefully, you know, we've got another matchup here where we haven't beaten this team either. And, you know, those wins can mean much more than just 3 points for some of these players and
exactly
their psyche going forward.
Exactly. So I think that's
I appreciate him really going with the vibes there about, you know, with some of these
100%, players. 100%. Yeah. I think we've seen so many players come out on social media after losses and be like apologetic to the fans, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, we need to be better for you. We need to go out there and play for you. And I think Jesse makes the good point of like, the fans are always going to give their all for the players in the stands. And I just hope it feels good.
Some fans, let's not get it twisted. That's fair. Some folks have been missing out it's valid, but anyway.
And you know, we are definitely going to be louder. We are going to be louder when we're doing well and we're winning.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Exactly.
There is going to be a difference there, of course.
Yeah. So I hope these wins help like ease some of those anxieties around like needing to show up. So, well, we're going to end it with Zach from the North End podcast. We got a North End podcast sandwich here. So,
oh, heck yeah.
Let's keep it going.
What's going on, boys? It's Zach from the North End podcast. I saw you put out the call for some listener questions, so I had to throw my hat in the ring here. Obviously, still feeling pretty darn good after our first victory of the season against Frisco, no less. But now we're getting towards the middle of the week, right? Starting to turn our attention towards San Jose this weekend. And I want to look even a little bit beyond that, right? We've got a very tough schedule coming up after San Jose. San Jose themselves, a team we have never gotten a victory against through three seasons. But then you go to St. Louis, you go to Houston, and then you welcome the Galaxy to town, who are rejuvenated. They look extremely dangerous. So how does the team, or I guess what needs to happen going forward to try to build some momentum off of this first win? You know, is there something specific you'd like to see more of? Or are there things, be it, you know, coaching tactics, lineups, substitutions, player performances, player attitudes, anything that you'd like to see more of or you'd like to see change to try to keep this or, you know, just build some momentum? Because one win is great, but we got to get more than one to stay in touch with this playoff line here. So interested to see what you guys have to say. Keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you boys soon.
You will talk to us soon indeed, Zach. I mean, we kind of spoke a little bit to it when we talked about what we liked from this game, but what do you think needs to happen, to Zach's point, to carry this momentum? Paul, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I would actually like to hear what Paul has to say. You know, Zach asks about, you know, tactics and coaching changes, instructions, things like that. I would like to hear what Paul has to say about that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Honestly, fuck all the tactics, dude. I think you just have to go in and really remind yourself, you know, it's like, look, you only focus on the opponent directly in front of you. Yes, we have a little bit of a hard stretch coming up, but you can easily overcomplicate things in training if you're trying to do a little bit too much. So what I would hope that the boys are doing out there on the pitch over at St. David's is just keeping it to one opponent at a time. San Jose is down on their luck right now. But as we know in this league, those always often, you know, those matches against teams that are down will surprise people because, you know, you corner a team for so long, you know, they're eventually going to want to scrap. And so, I just think it's really important that, you know, they use this energy from the, you know, Derby win and, you know, just build on the next one, man. Like,
Agreed. Yeah. Well, Joe.
You know, Zach brings up a schedule that's pretty tough here. And, you know, I would agree. But, you know, you look beyond these games, as Paul says, you look at the game right in front of you. We get through the San Jose game. It's a team that, one, we need to build on the win we already have. Let's go streaking.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
You have St. Louis. We should have beaten St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that the players and coaches are going to be like, we deserve that win. Let's go get those 3 points because, you know, they probably hopefully there's some chip on your shoulder about, you know, fuck that. We should have six against y'all.
Yep.
Not four. So, you know, there's always something that you can look forward to. And then, you know, Houston, great team right now. But Texas Derby, you know, we got a lot of proof against these teams, you know, whether it's Copa Tejas and just the overall standings.
Yep.
And then, you know, hopefully we string enough good games together where we get to Galaxy and we're like, hey, let's just keep this going. We're running high. We've got 9, 6, 7 points in a row here.
Nine.
Let's make it 12. Yeah, you know, hopefully we're just rolling into momentum for that Galaxy game. I'm sure there's something about that, you know, that we can look at. Home game right there, Q2 Stadium, playing some of against some of our old players. Hey, Diego. I think there's definitely something, you know, to Paul's point, you're looking at the team in front of you, but I think we've got a lot of, you know, what do they call that? Chalkboard? I don't know, talk? Something like that.
I'm picking up
Little X's and O's and all that stuff. Yeah. It is interesting, though, that we've already played 2 out of the 3 remaining undefeated teams. You know, you look at Philly is still technically undefeated. Galaxy, you know, should they continue their run when we get them? And I know that's another team that, man, we just, we hate playing them. It feels like so. Hopefully we can show up for them.
Agreed, man.
But San Jose first.
And even, you know, I don't honestly feel like we're pretty neutral against Vancouver. I think we've only got one win against them.
Yeah. Shout out Rodney.
Yeah, shout out Rodney. Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah. I'd like to see that the second half of Saturday's game continue, right? And the way the guys played the first 30 minutes or so, really dominating the game. Smart, simple passes. Just meaningful play through Giriusi. I think there's a couple of missed opportunities to Giriusi that we saw where like the Alex Ring run that he had where he's wide open on the right side of the goal and tries to pass it across the face when Giriusi is making a darting run to the penalty spot wide open.
Yeah.
If that's at his foot, that's a goal. Guaranteed. You know? So little things where we're constantly looking for Giriusi as the guy to finish a play, knowing that he's going to make the right play. Paul.
And I think something to keep in mind too is like, you know, it's definitely been obvious that Wolf is trying to teach Emmy a lesson, you know, in terms of, you know, not starting him in these lineups. But I think another person that we said this earlier in the season already too, that might need to take a step back is Alex, honestly. He did a lot of good work for us on Saturday against Dallas, but
he did.
There's still just those key elements in those final attacking third moments, like he had a clear shot. Everyone remembers, and we were holding our breath for him to just rip it, and then he just 2-3 touch, and you know, we lose that opportunity. So you know, I hope that he kind of regains his 2022 form, and I know you're going to hear us saying that a lot, but we were balling then, bro we were
hopefully we keep it going again, like everybody spoke to from these reactions. So we're going to take a quick break before we preview the San Jose match real quick and get into stoppage time and end this thing. And we're back. So all time, Austin has a record of 0 wins, 2 losses, and 5 draws against San Jose. Many people consider them one of our rivals, you know, the tech cities, all the other things, blah, blah. Coming into this game, San Jose is missing at least 4 players to injury and 2 players to red card suspensions. So missing a good amount of depth. And they are traveling to Austin on the heels of a 2-1 loss to the Houston Dynamo and are sitting at 13th in the West at 3 points with a record of 1 win and 5 losses on the year. I mean, it begs to say again, we have never won a game against them, regardless of our form, regardless of their form. They're a tough opponent for us. Do y'all think we carry this momentum? Let's talk predictions. Let's talk vibes. I'm going to hand it off to y'all.
You go ahead, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can only hope. I mean, with recent history with Austin, it's really kind of been 1 step forward, 2 steps back. And as our good friend Goodman, friend of the pod, said, you can't follow up a birdie with a bogey. You know, we can only hope that we're following up with good, intentional play, especially against a team. It doesn't matter how good or bad they're doing this season. I think the Houston match, it was a late goal that really pushed us into a loss and not a draw.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of might have a pissed off San Jose team who's really feeling, you know, like they were a little slighted, cheated out of a point, might be coming to Austin against a team that they know that they usually have their number. And that's something that they might, you know, have and hold against us.
Yeah. Yeah. To that point, Lojo, it should have been two straight games for San Jose to get points. They were 0-4 to start. They won their fifth game. And then that controversial ending.
That's
right. The Houston game. So,
all right.
Their form had generally looked better the last 2 weeks. They still left with the L, though. Paul, what do you think, man?
I mean, we've harped on it enough, I think, on this episode, but it's just a matter of how bad do they want to keep that momentum going, because they can control all of these things that they control week in, week out. At the end of the day, man, they just got to go into Q2 wanting, you know, passing that ball around, opening the spaces, finishing the chances. And at the end of the day, man, like we just gotta, it would be really cool, wouldn't it, to like end a week with a regular season win against opponents that you could not beat in the regular season. Like
exactly.
This is
back-to-back.
A cool opportunity for us as Austin fans, in our history right now. So,
yep.
On paper, this looks like one of those matches that we should, you know, theoretically come out on top as, but all I know is I'm just going to be scanning my ticket at the gate. Show up and hope it goes our way, man.
For sure.
Yes, sir. Obobese is on San Jose, which is always a problem. So
and Espinosa, we like him too.
And Espinosa too. Yeah, I love Obobese, but that dude can outjump our entire team on his worst day. So if they get corner after corner after corner, I'm going to feel pretty nervous about this game.
And look for him to start too, because Judd, there's starting striker as of last game is the one who received the red card. So look for him and Espinosa to be the strikers, which probably worries me more than if it was Judd and Espinosa, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah. Two guys that have dominated us in the past. So
yeah.
I'm hopeful. Let's do predictions. What do y'all think? Lojo, I'll start with you.
I think we pull out a 2-1. I think we finally do it. I think we finally get a win. We hold on strong. Maybe go up 2, they get a late goal or something like that. I'd be fine with that. But yeah, I definitely hope 2-1 is my thought process here.
How many fingers am I holding up?
That's a 4.
I was putting up 4.
Oh, we're putting up 4 on them. They're putting in 1, but
4-1.
But it's going to be a 4-1 to Austin, I have a feeling. I think their back line is not the most staunch. And I think what we've been noticing, especially between Diego and Seba, and also Owen on the wing, bro, like he's actually not, you know, like
Owen has probably given us our best wing play on the right side that we've seen this entire season.
Crazy.
That's a true
for
statement.
The money. Yeah. That's insane value. But
I'm still trying to digest. I'm like, was that really, really good wing play, or was that just really good wing play from what we have available? And I think it's a little bit of both.
And against Dallas,
I think we're a little starved of proper wing play over there on the right side. But I also think he put in a good solid shift.
Yeah,
agreed.
Hopefully he can. But you know, your boy, you two. I'm looking at you guys. Your boy needs to start taking those opportunities. Alex Ring. We're gonna put 4 in. We gotta put 4 goals in. He needs to start taking.
Look,
those shots.
All I'm saying is Julio's gonna be wearing his vapors.
So Julio hat trick? Is that what we're doing here? 3 headers.
You know, that man has not scored with his foot. Am I correct in saying
maybe
it's been 1 or 2.
I think he might have 1. Like, there's 1.
Yeah. All of them. Most of them have been off the dome. Hey.
Yeah, I have like a faceless memory of Julio scoring with his foot. I can't tell you where.
It might have been like a rebound or just like a poke in.
Yeah.
A mess of it in front of the goal and he pokes it.
Oh, that's right.
That's exactly what it was.
Cheeky little, like, we weren't sure if it was intentional or not. Like, he megged a defender and then like slides it through or something.
Something like that.
Maybe that was an assist. I can't remember. I don't know.
Regardless.
Anyway, I'm trying to give him flowers, geez.
I appreciate it.
You're doing great, man.
I appreciate the slander kind of being... teeth. What's that Wojak meme where you're wearing a smiley face, but yeah. Behind it is just this angry, seething
face? Yes,
exactly.
That's what they're describing right now.
For real. I think for me, 3-1. And it's funny you mentioned the Alex Ring thing, Lojo, because I was going to say Alex Ring is going to get one of those.
I hope so.
I'm not going to call the order of the goals, but I think we score early. They respond early. 1-1 going into the half, and we score 2 in the second half to run away with the game. I think Alex Ring contributes. I think, hot take here, I think Ragone off the bench contributes as well.
Mm. We can only hope for best ball. I mean.
I know.
I know. I mean.
That's true.
So we got a 2-1, a 3-1, and a 4-1. All Austin wins, though, and all of us, assumingly a Bobasi header. For their one, right?
Something like that.
I'd like to see it. I like the guy. Let's get the stoppage time. Yeah.
Let's do it.
So, Paul, you mentioned this a minute ago, but there's only 2 undefeated teams left in MLS as of this week. Those are LA Galaxy and Cincinnati. They are both top of the league with 12 points on 3 wins and 3 draws. And, you know, interestingly enough, I was looking at the standings. This is a pretty compact start to the season. There's no team running away with the league so far. I think there's like 10 different teams that are 11 teams that have 10 or more points right now. So it's a tough start to the year.
Yeah.
And
Paul, the league of parity. Welcome to the league.
Bingo. Long ass season, equal ass teams, that's why every point matters, man. Jose said it last episode, right?
Yep.
Every one of those points matter.
This isn't the Bundesliga where Bayern's running away. Oh, never mind.
Oh,
never mind.
Tuchel out.
Got him. LAFC, they have signed Kay Kamara, who will turn 40 during the season. And this is his 11th MLS club. Shout out to the legend.
Extending his record, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adding, he has the record for the second most and first most teams and third most.
right. Talking about a journeyman, man.
Journeyman to the max definition, but also.
Hopefully, he checked in with his wife though. If he's got a partner, didn't pull a Forsberg.
Yeah.
Right.
He's like, but, I'm retired.
An insurance policy though for LAFC just to have Kai Kamara just up the sleeve for 5 minutes at the end of a game, whatever maybe.
Yep. Yeah. Which he did well in. Was it Chicago?
Chicago.
Is that right?
Last team was Chicago.
He did well in that role. So. It was a storyline for sure. Looking at San Diego FC, the new club that will be starting in 2025 in MLS, they are set to sign their first sporting director, that being Carlos Avina, the technical director of AS Monaco. I believe he was signed just last summer to AS Monaco as their technical director. So it's a quick turnaround. Good to see San Diego go all in on quality. What are y'all's thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's just a big thing of signaling, like investment. We're not necessarily sure how that's going to pan out, but, you would much rather see your front office trying to make a big name signing like this. But as opposed to like some random no name. But
we'll see how it goes. Smith's national team has been Claudio Reyna.
Right. Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I guess Monaco wasn't too thrilled with the selling of Axel Di Sassi at this point.
True.
Probably needed to part ways with that. I also saw with that news, maybe murmurs of Memo Ochoa being the goalie at San Diego at the ripe age of 57 at this point. Don't know how he'll do since he's not wearing a Mexico kit. Yeah, right.
Oh my God, bro.
Could you imagine?
That'd be awesome.
Terrible. But as Paul said, it's investment. I think that's it's good for the league.
Yeah. Tom Bogert put out an article completing the anonymous owners poll. It was on The Athletic. And boys, it looks like the Leagues Cup is here to stay. We probably already knew that. But the owners, those who may not have been excited about it, are eating humble pie, as they said in the article. And others that were expecting it to be great are happy. And there were a lot of other points in this article. What else stood out to you, or what thoughts did you have from this poll?
Definitely the support of Open Cup from some of these owners. I think a lot of owners were still, wanting needing Open Cup to be a part of this season as well. The tradition and just the opportunity for another trophy to be lifted. I think that was telling, and I hope Don Garber takes notes.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm personally offended by some of the reactions in that poll. There was one executive that wasn't a fan of the loading screen in between the games and stuff.
I forgot about that. Dude, that made me laugh.
So I've got haters. That's cool.
I know.
Damn. I forgot. Imagine that. Paul's biggest ops are some of the big
right.
It's crazy.
He's built different, bro. I was surprised to see how, I mean, maybe not surprised, but just more glad to see how knowledgeable a lot of the execs are on roster rules and how like in the weeds they are with even things as small as like the percentage roster charge of DP players and whatnot, and like lowering that to get more flexibility. Things like owners calling for extra DP spots if they're not going to overhaul the roster rules altogether. Just things to give executives more financial freedom to spend, which is good to see for a league that's on the cusp of kind of exploding with spending. So
for sure.
Yeah. Owners are scheming. They're scheming away in Miami.
That's it.
Moving across the pond, Fenerbahce votes to stay in the Super League, the Turkish Super League. Boys, tell us what was happening with this. Why were they supposed to leave?
Bro, they was scrapping out there, cuz. They was scrapping. Michy Batshuayi, bro, he was kicking, boy. You know. No, I'm sorry. I took it there. But no, there was the rivalry between Fenerbahce and Trabzonspor, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah, you're right.
Big derby match, basically. And after they won, supporters from the opposite team stormed the pitch, started attacking the team. And so they had to, go to fisticuffs, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny to see on the TL, Michy Batshuayi do the roundhouse kick on and miss one of the supporters. But
that was funny.
Ex-Chelsea player.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it said in the article that 12 fans had been arrested for their involvement.
Something like that.
The next day. It's going down.
I guess, bro.
It's going down out there. But what else happened across the world? Oh, no. Let's go back to local. Best ball, baby. Best ball update this week. Two Giants are fighting it out on top. Currently, we sit at second with 261 points on the week. We're just behind Phil West and Verde All Day. I believe he's 4 or 5 points ahead of us. I don't have it in front of me, but something like that. We're just swapping blows week to week, the two of us, back and forth on top. Slowly increasing that lead on the rest of the teams.
Bro, we're doing that with Ragone on this roster too.
Just bingo,
let that settle in, bro. That's what I'm saying. Set in. We may not Masi know ball off the... by picking Ragone, but we do know ball by putting him in a team that kicks ass.
Yes, sir. 2022 vibes.
That's it.
No, I think, Paul, you were saying let's at the midseason redraft that we get to do in this league, drop Ragone, get a new winger that's actually doing something.
Owen Wolf,
obviously. No, but because I made that point, I was like, well, we have to have an Austin FC player. What are we going to do?
Correct.
He's like, drop one of the defenders, pick up Julio.
Yeah.
Julio's not on the team, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, why are you telling everyone our secrets?
Bro, I'll scrap.
Our secrets. Yeah, that's right.
It's probably, top of the table gets first draft, right? So we'll be good.
Right.
No, we are Austin just absolutely rubbing their hands listening to this right now.
They're just looking for any other Miami players at this point. They're trying to figure out and get their hands on more of those inner Miami players.
Right.
But I don't know. They can have the geo tracker parked out front of our mansion right now, which is Ragone outside the club with the rest of our team.
Right. That's awesome, dude. And to close this out, Chelsea sucks sometimes. And this was one of those times, boys. What went down with Chelsea this past weekend?
I think it's just a little bit of complacency. I think you've got a young core of guys. I think the oldest player on the field probably being 24, 25. Seeing a relegation battle team down a player. Maybe just expecting to walk away with 3 points without really having to put work in. Maybe getting comfortable after going up 2-1. That's just kind of what happens sometimes, is you just get a little complacent and things happen. It's the Premier League. No matter how good or bad these teams are, you have solid players against you, and
you got to scrap.
You need to be ready. Sure. And, you know, we need this set piece coach now bad. Like, yeah, we need him right now.
Yeah, we really do. Defensively, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, what happened with the women's team? I know Emma Hayes was getting a little scuffle with the Arsenal coach.
Oh, yeah. It was the Conti Cup against Arsenal, which ended up being kind of like a, what do you call it? Immovable force, immovable object, unstoppable force, you know, type thing.
Exactly.
There was a little spat between Emma and I forget the Gunner coach, but
doesn't matter, bro.
Yeah. There was some exchange of words there, I think, technically between the Arsenal coach and Aaron Cuthbert, one of the players for Chelsea Women's. And she, you know, she stood up for her player, bro. And, you know, you see a post-match, they go shake hands and she kind of gives them a little shove off. And I can't wait for her to be U.S. Women's National Team coach, dude. Can you just imagine that kind of grit, that kind of
I'm excited.
Stones on that woman.
Exactly. Exactly. Hopefully Chelsea turns it around in time to continue competing on both fronts.
I think the quadruple is no longer available,
but the treble is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The league's still on.
Yep.
UCL's still on.
Yeah. Sir, we're still in it. Blue till I die.
That's it.
All right. Let's wrap this up, boys. Before we get to this final outro, we just want to hear your thoughts on how this episode was formatted. We thought it would be a cool way celebrating our first win with some of those fan notes, the audio recordings. So let us know if y'all like that. We're thinking of other ways to engage with y'all in episodes, outside episodes. So please let us know on Twitter or in the question on Spotify what y'all thought about that. And hopefully we get more of y'all involved. And as always, we appreciate y'all kicking it with us on this week's episode of the Veridependent Podcast. I'm Logan Bartlett. Catch me on Twitter at LobarVHLM.
Hey, everybody. It's Logan Jones. You can find me at TheLoloJones.
I'm still celebrating 3 points. You can catch me at Paul Andrew FC.
The government name with 3 points on the chain. Make sure to keep the chatter going online by following at The Veridependent on Twitter. Something we didn't get to, I'll close it out real quick. We had a poll post-game for Man of the Match. Driussi won the official Man of the Match by the team, but you all said that Diego Rubio should have been the Man of the Match, and you'll get no arguments here. So
yeah,
keep those going, and we'll include those results in future episodes. So appreciate y'all.
Bye.
Good stuff. I liked it.
Oh, why are you screaming at me?
Oh my God.